Let's read together Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. In this first half of Amos 7, we have the first three visions of Amos. Let's begin by reading the first two visions of judgment in verses 1 through 6. Amos chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, he formed locust swarms at the beginning of the late crop. Indeed, it was the late crop after the king's mowings. And so it was, when they had finished eating the grass of the land, that I said, O Lord God, forgive, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord God called for conflict by fire, and it consumed the great deep and devoured the territory. Then I said, O Lord God, cease, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. This also shall not be, said the Lord God. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Amos chapter 7, with some background notes. Amos was a successful businessman who lived in the town of Tekoa, not too far from Bethlehem, in the southern kingdom of Judah. But God called Amos to leave his successful business career and go full-time into the ministry. You know, I can identify with Amos at this point. The Lord called me out of secular employment into full-time ministry in the early 70s. Not my early 70s, the early 1970s, right? Up to this point, I was working as a research scientist and engineer and had no intention of leaving the good job that God had given me. But the Lord called me to follow him in full-time ministry, and I obeyed. So I love reading about Amos in the Bible because I can identify with him. Now, let me say two things at this point about so-called full-time ministry. Number one, the Lord calls all of us to serve him full-time. There's not some special class of clergy that are called to serve the Lord more than other believers. No, all believers should serve the Lord all of the time. Where you serve the Lord all the time is really the question before us, not whether you serve the Lord all the time. Some Christians are called to serve the Lord in secular employment, and some Christians are called out of secular employment. But we all serve the Lord all of the time. I trust that all of you here today are serving the Lord full time wherever you are. Now, the second point I want to mention in reference to so-called full-time ministry is that the grass is not really greener when you leave secular employment. Some Christians, you see, have the idea that when you leave secular employment to serve the Lord in some ministry full-time, all problems disappear. No more stress about your job. No more rat race. No more pressures from the world. No more worries and anxieties about your needs. No more company politics because you're now in the ministry. It's just a wonderful, carefree ministry world of love and joy and no problems. Nothing could be further from the truth. You can't escape the world. Just about all the problems you faced in secular employment, you will face in any full-time ministry. And you will work harder. And many times, you'll be in a lot less pleasant environment than you were in when you were in secular employment. Such was the case of Amos. Living in Tekoa as a successful businessman was certainly a lot more pleasant than preaching and prophesying to an unfriendly audience at Bethel in the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember, the prophet Amos was like a foreign missionary. He lived in the southern kingdom of Judah, but the Lord directed him to preach and prophesy to the northern kingdom of Israel. His ministry was centered at Bethel. Bethel had a lot of great memories going all the way back to the time of the patriarchs. But at the time of Amos, there was an idolatrous shrine located at Bethel. This golden calf shrine had been set up by King Jeroboam I about 170 years before the ministry of Amos. At the time of Amos, King Jeroboam II was in power, but the shrine was still there. It was at Bethel that Amos delivered his 8 prophecies and 3 sermons and six visions. Here in the first half of Amos chapter 7, we have the first three visions of judgment concerning the northern kingdom of Israel that the Lord gave Amos. And there's more we could say for background, but we need to move on now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Amos chapter 7. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, God answers the prayers of his people according to his sovereignty. God answers the prayers of his people according to his sovereignty. This doctrinal point comes from the first two visions that we just read about in verses 1 through 6 of Amos chapter 7. Many Bible students and commentators believe that the plagues in these first two visions of Amos foreshadow the coming invasion and devastation that will take place when the Assyrians overrun the land, not too many years following these visions of Amos. In the first vision, in verses 1 through 3, Amos saw a devastating locust plague. It came at the time of the second harvest or second reaping. The first reaping or mowing went to the king as tribute or tax. The second reaping or late crop was for the people. So if the locusts came after the king's share had been harvested, the land would be devastated and the people would be desolate and have nothing. Many would die from starvation because of the resulting famine. But Amos prayed on behalf of the nation, and God withheld the locust plague. In the second vision, in verses 4 through 6, Amos saw a consuming fire. It not only ravaged the land, but dried up the natural water sources. Again, this would mean much suffering and death. Once again, Amos prayed on behalf of the people, and God withheld the fire. God is a merciful God. Now, what does it mean in verses 3 and 6 that the Lord repented or relented or changed his mind, as some of your translations have it? Changed his mind concerning these natural disasters. I mean, I thought God was sovereign and knows everything and controls everything and therefore cannot relent or change his mind. Well, that's right. God is sovereign. And he does know everything, and he does control everything. You see, this is anthropomorphic language, that is, human characteristics ascribed to God. In other words, from the human perspective, it appeared that God changed his mind in response to the prayers of Amos. But God is sovereign and knew all the time what he would do. This does not mean, however, that God does not answer prayer. God does answer prayer. James 5:16 says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." James 5:16. Amos was a righteous man, and he prayed, and God answered his prayer and withheld the judgment of the locusts and the fire. We don't know how prayer works. It's beyond our finite comprehension to fully understand how a sovereign God who knows everything and controls everything from eternity to eternity can still answer our prayers. The fact that he knows if we'll pray and how we'll pray is certainly part of the answer. But the full answer is beyond us. But I think you see the doctrinal point that emerges from the first two visions that Amos had. God answers the prayers of his people according to his sovereignty. Doctrinal point number two, God measures the uprightness of his people according to his scriptures. God measures the uprightness of his people according to his scriptures. Let's read about the third vision of Amos in verses 7 through 9. "Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with a sword against the house of Jeroboam." You all know what a plumb line is, right? A plumb line is a cord having a weight at one end. It is used by builders and masons to determine how straight and vertical a wall or foundation is. A plumb line will indicate if a wall is not upright. Do you see the illustration? God was measuring the uprightness of his people Israel and found them wanting. They were crooked and not straight. They were way out of line because of their idolatry and social injustice. And God would have to judge them. Verse 9, the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with a sword against the house of Jeroboam. This all happened at the hands of the Assyrians not too many years after it was prophesied by Amos. Now let me ask you a question. What is God's plumb line in the vision? Answer, his word. God's plumb line for measuring spiritual and moral uprightness has always been scripture, in the days of ancient Israel as well as today. God measures the uprightness of his people based on his scripture. God's plumb line is not your status in society. God's plumb line is not how well you've done in your business or career. God's plumb line is not how many friends you have or how much influence you have. No, God's plumb line is scripture. How do we measure up? How well do you measure up to God's plumb line of scripture? God measures the uprightness of his people according to his scriptures. What about practical application from this first half of Amos 7? How straight is your wall in God's eyes? How straight is your wall in God's eyes? If God were to picture your life as a stone wall, what would it look like? Suppose the Lord sent each one of us a picture showing us how we looked as a wall. How would we look? Would our wall be strong and straight and true? Would our wall be a lot less straight than we had thought it was? Would our wall be crooked and broken down? Would it be tilted and collapsing? Would our wall be whitewashed over because we tried to beautify it knowing that it was not very straight? Would our wall have patches of cement all over it where we tried to keep our wall from crumbling? How would our wall be pictured? Wonder what kind of picture of a wall God would send us if our life was pictured as a wall. Let's hope that each of our lives would be pictured as strong walls that are straight and in line with God's plumb line, the scriptures. Is your wall as straight in God's eyes as it is in your own eyes? The true test is scripture. Does every area of your life line up with scripture? Does every area of your life line up with the scriptures? That's the true test, the Word of God. And the more we know scripture, the better the test. How straight is your wall in God's eyes?